you kind of get the gist that fruit bearing is something important for Jesus, that we would produce fruit? Yeah, big time. It's even, you can read in there, our salvation is tied into having fruitfulness. Please don't get me wrong. I am not talking about works righteousness, works salvation. No. I mean, yeah, you need the fruit, but the fruit is simply evidence of being connected to Jesus. If we're connected to Jesus, the fruit happens. I mean, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. It's going to happen. I mean, it just quite naturally, it's organic. It just, the Holy Spirit flowing through me creates the fruit, just like sap in a tree that is going through the tree into the branches, and then fruit is produced. And the beautiful thing is, you almost don't even have to work at it. I mean, you don't see an apple tree, you know, and the branches are going, apple! Ah, you know, you don't see that strain, that striving in a tree. It's organic. It's the sap. The sap, that is the absolute essence, and essentially, it is essential for the fruit to grow. And the same thing, it's the Spirit of Christ in us, that's like the sap in us, that's what's going to create that fruit. Is it important that we're bearing fruit? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't, God woke me up at 1 this morning and wouldn't let me get back to sleep. I went back to bed at 3:30 in the morning. I was just, come on, God, please get me to sleep. But, you know, I was praying and I just felt like He was just pressing upon me this importance. I got to say this. Biblically, the kingdom of God is near. People, the kingdom of God is near. And I mean, for about a year now, I've been feeling this weight. Even before being called here, I've got to say, I believe that it's not just that the end times are like, you know, near. I really think we have entered into end times. I mean, that's a whole other sermon, maybe a sermon series. I can't go into it right now. But, you know, as you read your Bible and see, I mean, things are lining up, but not just so much here in the United States. You start looking at what's happening in the Christian churches all throughout the world, and persecution, oh yeah. I mean, you check out what our Christian brothers and sisters in China are going through, in North Korea are going through, in some of those Muslim countries. Oh my gosh, I mean, it's horrific, the persecution. And so, I mean, you would ask one of them, do you think we're living in end times? They'd be like, well, duh. So this is really important. And my role here, and Jesus is our shepherd. He's the great shepherd, but I'm like a sub-shepherd. And He's put me in charge of preparing this flock and so that everybody's fit for heaven. Fit for heaven. And not just for heaven, but fit for living out your calling on this earth. However much time we've got, okay? How you live out your life. So I feel this weight, this responsibility, and I just got to say, okay, right now, when we're talking about this kind of message, fruit bearing, this is hugely important, okay, that we're going to bear fruit, and fruit that lasts. And so, you know, I've got a couple other scripture texts there in your sermon notes, kind of the CF means refer to. It means, you know, you can cross-reference then with, you know, what was in that John 15 text, but if you got your Bible, but if you don't, there should be a pew Bible there. Go ahead and open up to Matthew 7. I want to bring another text in. All right, we're going to cross-reference and get into Matthew 7 too. How important is fruit? You know, that there's fruit, godly fruit in our lives. Matthew 7. You start with verse... bifocals. Hate them. All right, 15. All right, Matthew 7, that's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 7, start with verse 15. He's talking about fruit. And he uses a very similar metaphor. He says, all right, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you're going to recognize them. So watch out. There's some false prophets, and we talked about that in our men's Sunday school class. Jude talked a lot about that. All right, by their fruits, you're going to recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. And listen to this. How important is this good fruit? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He's talking hell here, all right? Thus, by their fruit, you're going to recognize them. Now, I'm not done there, but I want to make some comments. Then we're going to go on with verse 21. Okay, so how important is that good fruit? And you'll notice, too, I mean, that first example, John 15, he's talking about a branch needing to be connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. And the key is that it's the Holy Spirit in me that I am connected to Christ. Here, it's a similar image and metaphor. He's talking about, I mean, there's trees, and we're all like trees. Some of us are going to have good fruit. Some of us, sadly, are going to have bad fruit. Be careful. Just because you're in the church doesn't mean that you're automatically going to have good fruit. Read Jude. Read 2 Peter. Paul talks about this too. There are people in the church. It was back then, and it's true today. I'm not talking about you guys. But in the church in general too, I mean, you got to be careful. You got to contend for the faith, Jude says, because there's some people with some bad fruit. He goes on and talks about that. I'm not going to go into those details, but good fruit, that's what's necessary. Fruit, I mean, define it for me, Steve. Well, the good fruit is, again, coming from the Holy Spirit inside that tree, like sap, that is going to produce good fruit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Paul says in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience. You're going to be a patient person. Kindness. You're going to be kind. Goodness. I mean, you're going to be good-natured and a good person. Faithfulness. You're going to be faithful. Husbands, wives, in marriage, faithful. Faithful. Faithful to our kids, faithful to our church, faithful to our Lord. Gentleness. Gentle. The fruit is going to be this gentleness in your spirit and self-control. All right? Judging by that list, how you doing? I was praying about this. I'm going, I wish I had more of it. I really do. I really do. And specifically at home. Oh, man, that really is the test of your faith. I mean, you can put on a pretty good show, pretty good front here in church. I'm serving the church. I'm ushering. Got a big smile. I'm loving here. And at home? What's your wife say? What's your spouse say? How loving are you? How much peace do you bring in that home when you come in? Are you bringing peace? Or do things get tense when you walk through the door? Is there joy? I mean, are you a joy to be around? Or are you just... You know, those people just suck joy out of a room. I'm just saying, all right? Do a little self-evaluation here. What's your spirit quotient? How much of the Spirit's power and influence is coursing through you and in your life? What's the fruit that's being produced? There's the test, right? So as we start defining, what fruit are you talking about? That's it. That's the better test, okay? Some churches, more the charismatic Pentecostal churches, they'll say, well, if you're speaking in tongues, that's the evidence. Really? Well, everybody that speaks in tongues, if you don't speak in tongues, come on. Have you never read 1 Corinthians 14, I want to ask one? Hello? You know, that's not biblical, okay? Now, get back to Matthew 7, all right? Verse 21, because you know, he's been talking about fruit. Because he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Be careful, Christians, just because you're in the church, just because you're dressed like a Christian, all right, just because you say, Lord, Lord, careful, because he says, but, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in it. That's the key. Are you doing God's will? Well, I don't know. What is God's will? I'm going to get back to that. A little bit later on the sermon, I'm going to talk about how we can discern God's will. Do you know it? Do you know God's will for your life? Are you walking with secure, firm steps right in the path God has laid out for me? I'm right there. You can know that. You can, all right? So, are you walking in His will? It's key. It's really important. See how important it is, all right? Because He says, many are going to say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles? Well, what was the fruit they had? Well, it seems pretty impressive. Wow, holy cow. I mean, driving out demons? That's impressive. That seems like good fruit. Prophesying, doing miracles in his name? Wow, impressive. And what's Jesus say to these guys? Then I'm going to tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. Whoa. Talk about slap in the face. Talk about wake-up call. What's going on here? Yeah. Yeah. And really, in the church, big C, church at large, careful. You got a lot of false teachers, lots of false prophets. Careful on the airwaves. Careful the TV preachers you're watching. I'm serious. I'm not going to go naming names here right now. If you want to talk to me in private, maybe we can talk. But careful, all right? And it seems pretty incredible and dramatic what they're doing. Prophesying, casting out demons and miracles. But okay, but so what's the fruit? What's the good fruit then? All right. I would contend it's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's growing, and it's starting to abound. And what it's doing as your life intersects with other lives, how you are transferring to those people that love and that joy and that peace. Is it happening in you? I'm telling you, self-evaluation, right? We got to do it. So it's mightily important. I hope I've helped you a little define what kind of fruit he's talking about. All right. So how? All right. In John 15, Jesus says, remain in me. That's how. Remain in me. And how do we do that? Okay, so as you look at John 15, and then also we're going to pull some other verses from some other places. As I was doing my study, and this isn't an exhaustive list probably, but it's a good list. All right, first of all, keys to remaining in Christ through His Word, first and foremost. All right, and so Jesus said, if my Word remains in you, you're going to bear much fruit. If my Word remains in you. And so Paul says, let the Word of God dwell richly in you. What does that look like? To have the Word of God dwelling richly. First, you got to read it. All right? Honest question. How many people here read your Bible on a daily basis, devotionally? You're reading your Word. I see these people sheepishly kind of... But I'm not seeing a lot of hands. All right, we got an issue here. Okay? Big issue. Because when it comes to communicating with God, yeah, there's prayer, and you oftentimes give God your prayers, you communicate up to Him. Are you letting Him communicate back? Are you opening up your ears and going, okay, and God, what are you saying to me? Because you ever been in a relationship where it's all one-way communication? Oh, that stinks. It really does. I mean, have you ever been in a relationship where it's kind of like, they just want to talk, and then when it's time for you to talk, it's like they're just tuning you out, not even listening? And you ever been in a relationship like that? What kind of relationship is that? Are we doing that to God? The most important relationship? Because when we open our Bible, y'all, that is our way of saying, okay, God, your turn. I'm here, I'm listening. You talk, you give me... You teach me, you instruct me. Hey, correct me if you need to. Because if I'm straying from your path, do it, God. I mean, prune if you need to. In John 15, Jesus talked about pruning. Pruning means taking a knife and cutting. But with the purpose that, all right, we're going to cut off the dead stuff so that we'll have good growth, all right? Do it, God. You know, I was thinking too, and some of you guys, especially from the military, would get this example a little bit. I think we can all get it, but it literally would be like, all right, there's a battle, and we are in the midst of a war. Hello, it's a spiritual war. I mean, and we are to engage in that war, not to bury our heads in the sand. Get this picture. I'm in a war, and I'm going to bury my head in the sand. What am I showing to the enemy? Yeah. Is that the position you want to have? I don't think so. So, I mean, you imagine you're in the war, all right, and like you're a sergeant and you got your troops, all right, and you got your radio, and the radio is how we communicate with the command center, right? All right? I don't know if I'm even using the right words, all right? So, that's how we communicate. Can you imagine the sergeant, the guy in charge going, you know what, let's just turn the radio off, because all we ever hear from command center is, go to these coordinates. Go there. Fight this battle. I'm tired of fighting. Good that we have the radio. And when we need their help, we'll turn it on. And then we'll send in our requests to them. How's that going to go? What do you think the general's going to think, or your commanding officer, when he finds that out? I think court-martial, you know? Hey, are we doing the same thing to God? When we keep that Bible closed, is that way of our way of saying radio shut off? He can't give us instructions? Wow, Pastor, but you know, I come on Sunday morning and I may listen to the word then. Again, we're in the war. Let's just turn the radio on Sunday mornings. Rest of the week. We've got to be in our Word. It's vitally important. That is how we're going to, one of the principal ways we're going to remain in Christ. And it's right there. It's scriptural. So we've got to be careful. All right. So, next thing is, we remain in Christ through His love. How do we remain in His love? Well, here's the cool thing. It's connected back to the Word. Because right there in 1 John says, but if anybody obeys God's word, then God's love is made complete in him. Oh, now that would be cool. Can you imagine having God's love totally completed in you? I mean, this is God here. Does God know something about love? Oh, His love is excessive. It's lavish. Now, what do you mean? Like His Son Jesus dying on a cross for us? That kind of love? Amazing, excessive, lavish, awesome love, and that kind of love getting in us, and then that love being completed in us. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. Y'all, too many of us, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Can we confess and say that is like a core desire that I wish I had more love in my life? You can have it. You can have it beyond your dreams, love. God's love being made complete. How? Read His word and obey it. Now, it's not easy, but it's simple. It really is that simple. And James says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Just go deceiving yourself, listening, reading, and then not doing. Obeying His word, that's what brings about the love. That's how we're going to remain in God's love. All right, letter C. How do we remain in God's love? Through His sacraments. Where do you get that from? Well, first point two, communion. Jesus said in John 6, sounds kind of barbaric. A lot of people thought so too. He said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Hello? Yeah, that was the response of a lot of people. In fact, a ton of his followers left that day. They thought he was talking cannibalism. He was foreshadowing, he was foretelling about the Lord's Supper. That's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. Christ's body sacrificed for you, broken for you, take and eat. Christ's body, the blood of Jesus shed for you, for the remission of your sins, take and drink. Yeah. So it's communion. So how do you, because he just says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. How important is communion? Please, let's not trivialize communion. It is this wonderful sacrament of God's grace. So a sacrament is like this visible symbol of an invisible reality. God's grace is that invisible reality and beautiful grace, amazing grace, in a tangible, visible way. That is communion. That's what we're doing. And there is this wonderful spiritual channeling of God's grace in the act of communion. We are commanded to do it. That's also a sacrament, something we're commanded to do by Jesus. And that's where some of that grace comes in, and we contain, we remain connected with Jesus. All right? And through baptism too. Because Paul says, anyone who is baptized in Christ has been clothed with Christ. Talk about remaining in Him. Now you're clothed with Christ. And so you remain in Him through baptism. So baptism also is a sacrament. And it's very important. If there's anybody who has not been baptized, come talk to me. Come talk to me. We'll talk. I'm going to skip over and then go back to through His Spirit, but letter E, through His church, because we're just talking about Lord's Supper, baptism. So remaining in Jesus too means remaining in the church. All right? The church is Jesus' body, made up of those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be His people. And so it's pretty simple. I mean, if you are a hand of Jesus, and yet you disconnect that hand from the body, which is the church, what's going to happen to that hand? Same thing that's going to happen to this branch? Y'all, it's going to die. It's going to wilt. It's going to die. And so it makes sense. I need to stay connected to Jesus' body to remain in Him. His body is the church, and we are the members of that body. Arms and hands and feet and ears and... yeah. So, God, I mean, and Hebrews warns us, hey, there's some who are in the practice of just, you know, abandoning church. Don't be in that group. Be faithful. Be faithful. Remain in the church. Remain in Him. All right? Then, remain in His Spirit. Through His Spirit, we remain in Christ. It goes back to those examples I had at the beginning. With the branch, if it's connected to Jesus, the Spirit will flow, and you'll have the Spirit in you. If you are a tree, the significant thing, the most important thing is Christ in me, and I in Him, but Christ in me, His Spirit in me. The beautiful thing is the fruit just happens. And so that's my last point is the beautiful thing is the responsibility for that fruit actually is off your shoulders. You are not responsible for the fruit. Well, what do you mean? You just tell me how important the fruit is. What do you mean I'm not responsible for it? Well, no. The cool thing is, all you're responsible for is remaining in Christ. Getting in His Word and through the sacraments and getting into His love and remaining in His love and remaining in the church and remaining in the Spirit. Remain in Christ. And the rest is going to happen. Kind of like Jesus says, seek first His kingdom. And all these other things, they're just going to fall right in place. So you remain in Jesus. That needs to be your principal goal. I mentioned her before, but Hannah Woodall Smith, one of my favorite books, The Christian Secret to a Happy Life. It's a classic. If you haven't read that one, oh, it makes such sense of deep theology in such wonderful, simple ways, but incredible examples. Hannah Woodall Smith. And I love it. For an example, she just says, you know, when one time when she was volunteering at an institution for severely handicapped people, and she said, you know, they were trying to do these little exercises, and the girl that was getting it the best was the one who was completely helpless. So how was it that, you know, she's going through the motions completely, flawlessly, because the instructor was behind her, grabbing her arms and doing the exercises and the motions. And Hannah said, it's like that. You just allow Jesus to take those hands, to take the feet, to take your heart, your will, your mind. You allow Jesus to take over, and you're going to do it flawlessly. You're going to do this life in Christ beautifully because it's Jesus directing you. He's taken over. It's exactly like Paul said, I no longer live, but it's Christ living his life through me. That's what it's like. And it is so well put in the famous hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. Read you these words first. The words are amazing. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow with ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. God, take over. Take over. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. You're Lord. You call the shots. Take my heart. I love this one. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. I love that prayer. Wow. Take my love, my Lord. I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ah, that is the prayer of a passionate saint. That's my prayer for you. You would become this passionate saint. All right, I want to sing this prayer, and I do it because I want to minister to you. And what I want you to do is not just listen, but pray. Well, my hope is in your heart. The response is just this jumping of your heart. Just, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. I'm going to sing it different, right? I told you how much I love the words, but the tune, it just, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. It just sounds like a little girl on a swing, swinging and whistling some tune, you know, a little play tune or something. It don't fit with the words. I'm sorry, it doesn't. To all of you who love that hymn, I'm sorry. Kind of like Tim the Tool Man, Tim Taylor, I rewired it. So anyway, I'm going to sing this. Please, I sing it to minister to you. It's a prayer. Please listen and pray with me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Oh, Heavenly Father, please, may there be a resounding yes, yes, yes in our midst. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, set apart, made holy, sanctify us. Take over, God. Absolutely take over. Just like that wonderful illustration by Hannah Woodall Smith and that helpless girl, but where the instructor took over and flawless were her movements. So may our movements be beautiful and flawless and completely in sync with you and in your will, because you've taken over. Hands, feet, will, heart, everything. Everything, Jesus. May it be. And if there's still some hesitation in somebody, please, Lord God, I just pray Your Spirit would pursue them. Your Spirit would just chase after them and hound them if necessary. But this week, just assign some angels that would just be working in their lives until we could all be convinced this is the way. This is the way to remain in You, Jesus. And this is where that fruit's going to happen. At the end of the day, this is the way that we're going to get to heaven. But even in this life, this is the way we're going to live this life in a way that's going to glorify and honor and exalt You. And the result, too, for us, love, Your love completed in us. And Your Holy Spirit producing love, joy, peace, all the rest. Thank You, God. Thank You for Your wonderful Word. Help us to get in it. Dwell richly. Let it dwell richly in us. This is our prayer, Lord God. Thank You that You are the one who is more than able to do this and more. So we pray to You, our Lord Jesus. Amen.